other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, friends, to the Rediscover Hour. Once again, Patrick Conley, glad to be with you, and I am so grateful that you continue to tune in and listen to the show where we're talking about things that the Lord is doing in our midst here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, which really should be an inspiration to us as we continue to see evidence of His work, knowing that He works in and through us as individuals. He works in and through our local church as well. And I am not opposed to a little bit of alliteration now and again, and I've got some alliteration for you here as we are heading into the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time this weekend. And here's my alliteration for you. So the responsibility of reigning is reconciliation. The responsibility of reigning is reconciliation. So we've been talking over the last few weeks about how we see in the Gospel of Matthew that we are invited to share in the divine life of Christ, that He invites us to do that and to share in that with Him, and that part and parcel to that is the actual invitation to reign with Him. Ultimately, that is the promise that is given to us as we find union in God, or union in Christ with the Heavenly Father. But sometimes that's a little maybe misleading because we have very secular, very earthly mindset of what it means to reign. We did delve into that a little bit last time, but I want to take it a little bit further this time because our gospel lesson takes it a little bit further this time and talks about Jesus is saying about this whole reconciliation piece, that if our brother sins against us, we are meant to go and tell him his fault first, to basically work it out with our brother or sister there in Christ first. We're meant to just have this one-on-one discussion. We're not to make it a big thing, certainly to avoid any types of gossip or slander or libel or detraction, of which I know that we are all, myself included, we have a proclivity towards. We are kind of leaning in that direction. We love to share with others the faults of somebody who has sinned against us or who is acting unjustly or just not in the right way. But Jesus has something else in mind here. He's saying, you know what, just leave it between the two of you and reconcile that way if you can. But if that doesn't work, he's very understanding of human nature, isn't he? Well, of course, because he is the author of human nature, and he also entered into human nature for our sakes. And so as he gets into it, he says, if that doesn't work, then take one or two others along with you. Again, keep it small, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if he refuses then even to listen to them, then tell the church, the body of believers who, ideally, working in the Spirit of God, is always going to be looking out for the good of the other. That's part of what it means to reign with Christ. That's part of how Christ reigns, and that's how we are to share in his reign, to look out for the good of the other. And then if he refuses to listen even to that body, then treat him, our gospel lesson says, as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. So basically, treat him as if, well, what are we supposed to do then? Denigrate him? Defame his character? No, I don't think so. Remember, Jesus came and spent a lot of time with tax collectors. He preached to the Gentiles. We had that great story about the woman who claimed, the Syrophoenician woman who came and basically said, you know, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. No, still seek the reconciliation, but you might have to do so through some extreme measures, right? it might mean cutting off, you know, some members to prune those branches, as we talked about as well, so that they bear more fruit, right? That's what the pruning is all about. And so when we think about reigning with Christ, especially in this time we're entering into, well, we're already well into, but we're it's going to get worse before it gets better, is this political season when political mindsets and political opinions are being bantered about. There's a lot of accusations going on. There's a lot of telling you who's to blame, who's to vilify, a lot of factions going on, being set up. And in all of this time, I really sense that we need to place the reign of Christ first in our lives. We need to know that Christ is Lord, regardless of whomever is president or whomever is running for president or whatever office. And we need to set apart Christ as Lord and know that in the reign that we share, it's not a political reign, it's a reign of the Lord Jesus himself, which encompasses politics, but also all of humanity. And so we need to focus on reconciling one to another, as well as reconciling to God. And that's what, indeed, Paul talks about, certainly in our letter to the Romans as well. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So wonderful, wonderful readings that we have this week from the gospel and from Ezekiel and Romans as well, telling us once again that the responsibility of reigning, that is reigning with Christ, is reconciliation. So what do we got coming up on the program today? I'm happy to say that we have my good friend Jill Fink is with us. She's going to be taking off on the Great Catholic Parishes as we begin that series, as we always do, first weekend of September. She's going to be talking to us about Soin Odelia and Shoreview's new RCIA. And then a little bit later on, Therese Coons is going to be with us with a Synod update, specifically the Praying with Scripture series. She's going to be talking to us about that. And then finally, Father Eric Rutten is also going to be with us to talk about, what is this MCC event? We talked about it last week, this Minnesota Catholic Conference event that's coming up, specifically talking about racial equity and what's going on there. It's called Open Wide Our Hearts. So that's what's coming up. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first guest today is Jill Fink, who's been working in ministry, specifically catechetical ministry, in some capacity since graduating from Franciscan University in 1993. She also earned a Master's in Theological Studies from the University of Dallas in 2000, and she's currently the Director of Discipleship and Formation at St. Odelia in Shoreview, where she leads administration for the Faith Formation Department, Baptism, RCIC, RCIA, and Adult Education. Jill, wonderful to have you on the program.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, welcome. And I was reading through your little bio here that I get beforehand, and it says cantering is one of your hobbies. I didn't know you were a cantor.
Yes, I canter at Immaculate Conception Parish, which is our home parish in Columbia Heights. So
nice.
I used to canter a long time ago in college, and then before I had little children. So once you have little children, it's all bets are off for a very long time.
Sure.
You're very
sure.
Busy in the pew doing other things. And so a couple of years ago, they, you know, just called for us to have more cantors at their 8 a.m. Mass. And I thought, well, I think I could do 8 a.m. There's not a lot of people.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I picked that back up, and I love cantoring. So I'm glad that they let me.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're open to the Lord using you in that way. And yeah, maybe someday I'll steal up there for a Mass at Immaculate Conception and hope to get to hear you canter. So thank you for that. I should, for all my canter friends who knows that cantering is not a verb, to hear you cant, to hear you you lead the singing and the Mass in terms of song. Thank you so much for that. But I also know that you're a very gifted, catechetical leader, and so I'm grateful to have you on the program to talk about What's going on? I know that you and I both have a love for RCIA, and as you're starting up the RCIA, or at least you're formulating RCIA for Cenodelia this year, how's it looking? What's going on?
Yeah, we've been having lots of meetings and looking at that. I'm fortunate that last year with the RCIA program, they Father Michael Daly, who was here at the time, he kind of called me up for a place that I was at and really looked at what I was doing, and then he modeled that here at St. Odilia, so both for the English-speaking community and our growing Latino community. So coming into this now, I do have, you know, two teams already that have been working in RCIA with a model that I was familiar with doing. So this year, it's just really getting back with these teams, finding out how that worked well, and then looking at our schedules. So in the past, the English-speaking RCIA was on Wednesday evenings, and then for the Latino community, all of the catechesis is on Sunday morning. So we did decide to make the switch to have everybody doing RCIA, and it's delivered in English and in Spanish on Sunday mornings. So
nice.
Just looking with the whole COVID and then understanding things that need to go into, we do have a large school here, and the space that we use is within the school. So the whole sanitizing and everything like that, and just kind of getting a sense from people that Sunday morning is a great time to be able to have a class, you know, talking with other RCI directors who have kind of moved to that time slot. It's easy then to kind of have them being transitioning into going to Mass and then coming into the class, or having class and going into Mass, which is actually kind of the format that we're looking at here at St. Odilia. So catechesis for our Latino community happens before the 1 o'clock Mass. So we have catechesis, and then it flows into the Mass. And so for our English speaking, there'll be the possibility of Mass and then flowing into catechesis. So I love those connections with, you know, evangelization, catechesis, and liturgy all being kind of wrapped around into it. So
absolutely.
So that's the basic, structure we're looking at. And there will be some times, too, that we'll have like a bilingual Mass, especially at the rite of sending and rite of election. You know as well as I do, there's kind of a tight, you know, time there. So some opportunities to have some bilingual masses too.
That's wonderful. I love it. I love the idea. Now, well, let's start by laying the groundwork here a little bit. In case our listeners, they might be unfamiliar, we're using this weird acronym RCIA. Can you just give a quick definition of what RCIA is?
Sure. RCIA is the process for an adult to come into the Catholic Church, so to come into full communion with the Catholic Church. So it's was designed back, it was actually re-looked at during a Vatican II time, to how is the process that we would bring an adult into the Church. So we know at the early Church can be a great model for us. Within her history, she kind of went to more of infant baptism, right? So that process could have looked differently. So the Church said, let's re-look at how that process is, and then came up with the rite of Christian initiation process. And I call it more of a process than a program with that, because it does follow a person's journeying of faith into coming into the Church. So it's designed for people who either are unbaptized, and they'll be preparing for baptism, confirmation, and then to receive First Communion. It's also, though, appropriate for those who have been baptized in a recognized sacrament of baptism, a church, and then for us to be preparing them for the sacrament of reconciliation, confirmation, and then First Communion. So if we had a large, you know, parish, you might have, you know, two separate groups, but typically you could do just fine with having both of these groups together. The different rites would separate out how we pray for them, but the process is very much the same. So that was what RCIA sets out to do, to journey with a person and their faith. And she has her different periods that she marks for the person coming in, so by inquiry, the catechumenate, and then Lent time and then the mystagogy. Mm-hmm. And in between those times are times for discernment as the person looks at their relationship with Jesus Christ and that understanding of the church and making a faith response. If they want to continue into the next, like, a stage of RCIA, always leading to conversion. And then there's also the sponsor that is journeying with them and helping them to discern and to be looking at this whole process of coming into the Catholic faith. So celebration is typically at the vigil time, so that we baptize adults and bring them into full communion, or also the candidates as well, those who have been baptized. So here at St. Odilia's, for the English-speaking, we've brought them in at the vigil, but it's a tradition to bring in at Pentecost, so our Latino community. So we're looking at all possibilities with that here this next year.
Yeah, yeah. But I love the way that it syncs up so well with the liturgical calendar. And so the rite of Christian initiation of adults, I know that in the directives that are given by Holy Mother Church about RCIA, there's, you know, some liturgical, there's a lot of liturgical focus on marking these different, these different liminal points where you're moving from one stage to another, as you rightly pointed out, always moving towards conversion. But there's not a ton. I mean, there's some general directives, but there's nothing that says, here's what you need to be talking about in this time and, with specific topics and specific things that people need to know. And here's what you need to be talking about at this time and that sort of thing. So I'm always curious to know, and maybe you can share some about how do you see, you mentioned both evangelization and catechesis, both of which are crucial and instrumental in helping adults prepare to come into full communion with the church. So how are you seeing that laid out over the course of the year for St. Odilia?
Yes. So the first period is called the period of inquiry, and that's really this introduction to who God is as revealed by Jesus Christ. And so what we do in this first part of inquiry is really set these foundational times of introducing the person to our Trinitarian God. So who is God as revealed by Jesus Christ? So starting out of what is faith and who is Jesus Christ? And then looking at how the church has always looked at how we understand Christ and through the scriptures and tradition and the magisterium. And so those are the first couple times that we're just laying that groundwork. And then looking at how the Catholic Church looks at her scriptures and then the story of salvation and how the person has a role in that story of salvation. Mm-hmm. And then we really zero in on who is Jesus Christ and how you can have a relationship with him and you can develop that prayer life with them. And, you know, the RCIA process is always talking about looking for those moments of conversion in the person's life. So having a sponsor that's been journeying with them for like 6-7 weeks when we really zero in, you know, on who is Jesus Christ, then they can look back and say, where was I 7 weeks ago? And now that I'm being encountered with Jesus Christ, what is my faith response to that? And that leads into that whole beautiful discernment time. And then looking deeper at who Jesus Christ is and what does this Paschal mystery afford us? How are we like entering into that as well? And then the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. So that's that first part of inquiry where we're looking at the person of Jesus Christ, because we know that that's what our faith is all about. It's about Jesus Christ and laying that groundwork and then looking at that faith response that they have. So that's inquiry. And then if people say, yes, I want this, I want what Jesus Christ has for me, then it goes into the celebration of the rite of acceptance and welcome. Mm-hmm. And that's this beautiful opportunity for the wider community who is involved in RCIA. In fact, if you look in the rite books, it says that they take a very specific role. So that's their first opportunity to kind of see who has been preparing so far and then to offer their encouragement and offer their prayers with them. And that's really a beautiful time, too, for the candidate to be able to see a larger community than just your little class and to realize that there are people praying for them and many people, too, who are just out there in your community of maybe have walked through like an RCIA process themselves. So that's that first part of inquiry. And so that's how we do that, you know, here at St. Odilia's. And then that second part is going into the catechumenate. So the catechumenate is really for us to, now you know who Jesus Christ is, let's now look at his church and what the church believes and what the church thinks. So with that time, we're talking about our family, our church family, so Mary and the saints. We're talking about a whole sacramental unit where we go through each one of the sacraments. And then taking a lot of time, too, to start having them come into Mass and sitting at Mass together, that's really when a lot of the questions, you know, once we apply our faith in a worship, how does that look? And they have lots of questions because our liturgy is so catechetical, right? It tells us so much about our faith, how we think and how we live.
Right. Lex orandi, lex credendi. I mean, the
absolutely.
Right. Yeah. The law of prayer is the law of belief. Right. I'm jumping in. I jumped in there, but I'm going to continue on a little bit different. I know there's lots to say because we love it so much, but we're running a little short on time, Jill.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, now I'm hopeful that a lot of the people who are listening have either heard of RCIA before or know a good place, to recommend for people who might be looking to learn more about their faith. So a couple questions for you just to close off our time together. One, so is RCIA, would you say that RCIA is appropriate for people who aren't really sure whether they want to become Catholic or not, but they want to know a little bit more? That's question number one. What would you say to that?
I would say yes, it is. That first part of inquiry is designed, and our team is kind of trained, you know, with that in mind too, to be able to understand who Jesus Christ is and for them to take a look at that. That first part of inquiry, too, will give people a very good feel, right, for what we are as Catholics, who we are, and for them then to be able to discern well if they would like to continue into the catechumenate. That's why I think the Church is always so wise in how she presents the faith, and for us really just to follow what the Church's lead in on that. So I would encourage anyone who is thinking about becoming Catholic, maybe they've done some study, but you know, not a lot of study, for them still to feel that they should be able to call the Church and to talk to the RCIA coordinator.
Well, you're already getting into my next question. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to ask, is that what should people do if they want to find out more about RCIA? Where should they go? What should they do?
They can look on people's websites to find out. They would want to look for RCIA or Becoming Catholic. Maybe on the website they would have that. Also, just to call the general number and ask the person there to be able to forward them to the proper person. A lot of times people in the churches, they will have the information out there, but sometimes for someone just coming into it, they might not be able to know the code words.
Mm-hmm.
It might be
right.
Under adult education. It might be under sacraments. But if you just call the front desk person, they'll be able to route you with that. I know here at St. Odilia's we'll offer anyone can come and just look at what is the RCIA process. They can come if they're interested in it themselves, or I also advertise it as, you know, come for yourself to pass on the information to a friend maybe that you've been accompanying or, you know, might want to invite, you know, to look at becoming Catholic, or for someone just to come in just to find out in general, like what is the RCIA process, who is the team members, what does that look like. So it could be that a parish has that kind of information session right now.
Wonderful. So yes, log on to your parish's website, and if you want to find out more about St. Odilia's great RCIA program, just go to stodilia, that's odilia.org, and I think Faith Formation is the tab that you want to click on to see more about Jill and more about their RCIA program. Jill, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you as you continue this great work.
Thank you, Patrick. It's so good to talk with you.
And you. All right, we're going to head into our first break. When we come back, we're going to have Therese Kunz with us. We're going to talk about the Praying with Scripture series, part of the Archdiocesan Synod. That's what's coming up next. Stay with us.
Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
But I sing your glory now. I sing your glory now. I sing your glory now and forever. I sing your
glory. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, there's an Archdiocesan Synod going on. Are you aware of that? Yeah, well, Archbishop Hebda, of course, has been talking about the new the directives, the focus areas of the synod, and he has something to say about praying specifically. Let's give a listen to that.
In the course of our synod prayer and listening events, one of the nearly constant refrains was that there was a hunger to grow in our ability to pray. Some people said that they had never learned to pray. Others noted that they have aged and matured, but their prayer had not. Others commented that what they desired most in a priest, in a pastor, was an ability to teach them to pray, to help them to pray. Still others indicated how much they loved the prayer part of our prayer and listening events, and noted that they had never prayed with Scripture in that way before. I heard you, and as a result, we're going to be responding to those needs as we move ahead in our synod process. The need for a deep personal encounter with Jesus, nourished by prayer, falls squarely within our second focus area, forming missionary disciples who know Jesus' love and respond to his call.
All right, and so that's Archbishop Hebda talking about the importance of prayer and how so many people from the prayer and listening events for the Archdiocesan Synod said they wanted to grow in prayer. Joining us now is Therese Coons, who's the director of the Executive Committee for the Synod. She's been married to Mike for 33 years. They have three grown children, and she is a parishioner of St. Anne in Hamel. So, Therese, good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Patrick. Great to be here.
Wonderful to be talking with you once again, as specifically we talk about prayer. Now, there's this five-week Praying with Scripture series part of the Synod. Tell us a little bit more about what that's all about.
Wonderful. Well, we have the blessing of being taught by Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Coons themselves. So there's three components to the Praying with Scripture series. The first is the video teachings, and those will incorporate testimonies from faithful around the Archdiocese about their prayer life. The second component is we'll have talk outlines with discussion questions. So as you follow along on those teachings, you can take notes, and if you're doing it with others, you can do this alone or with others, but if you're doing it with others, there'll be discussion questions for you. And the third component is really striking to the heart of the purpose of this, and that is to actually have people enter into or grow, I guess, in their prayer life. So we're providing 25 scripture verses with related prayer companions. So the prayer companion will have a guided reflection for that, as well as walk through that time of prayer, allowing for journaling. And it basically takes the teaching of Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Coons and puts it in a practical format for you to apply.
Yeah, wonderful. And just let me remind everybody that you're listening to the Rediscover Hour, a program of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, on Relevant Radio 1330, WLOL, Minneapolis, St. Paul. So, Therese, why do you see this as, or how is this an important part of specifically the synod process?
Right. Well, actually, you know, the synod was a two-year process, and with the pandemic, we've pushed out the formal consultation process a year. And so we have this year, and it allows us a little more preparation in prayer. Synods are rooted in the work of the Holy Spirit and prayer. And so it really actually proved to be a blessing to have this time for more preparation and prayer.
And that's a key aspect, I would say, preparation and prayer. And I know that there's some great thoughts out there as we're reflecting with Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins. And I think we have some audio, too, from Bishop Cousins as well. Just a little bit of teaching from his part, too. Can we play that, too, Paul?
God, the Blessed Trinity, dwells within us by virtue of our baptism and desires a loving relationship with us. It's a basic principle of Catholic theology that because we're baptized, God comes to dwell in us and live in us. And he desires a loving relationship with us. He desires you to know his love. Just as our Lord said, and this is from John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." This is the Lord's promise, that if we live in a relationship with him, he will come and live in our hearts. So that's the first basic principle. God isn't far away. He lives in our hearts.
What a wonderful reflection from Bishop Cousins. And I'm sure we can expect more of the same in the Prayer with Scripture series as part of the Archdiocesan Synod. And Teresa, I know it's important always to set your expectations realistically when we're entering into various series and other things that that Holy Mother Church grants to us. So, what would you say that the participants in the Prayer with Scripture series can actually expect out of this series?
Well, it's what I would call a substantive series. They're truly in-depth teaching on prayer. And I think maybe helpful if I can just give you the titles of the five talks.
Please.
The first one is Prayer is a Personal Relationship with God. And so God speaks first. He pursues us. He calls us. And it just talks about that desire of God to have a relationship with us. The second talk is How to Listen to God in Our Hearts. And here, the clip you just had of Bishop Cousins is from this talk. And here he talks about the movements of the hearts, our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, as we pray with Scripture and can relate to God at that level. And then the third one talks about maybe more formally this process of prayer, of acknowledging these thoughts, feelings, and desires, relating those to the Lord, receiving what he has to say to the heart, and in responding. So as you go through this prayer series, it's quite practical of how do you enter into praying with Scripture. And they're really rooted in Ignatius, although it's also Alexio, but it uses an Ignatian model of using both your reasoning to enter into that scene, to think about that scene in Scripture, but then also your imagination and using your spiritual senses. I think some people haven't thought about that when they're praying with Scripture, that they can enter into that scene. Are they an observer? Are they a participant? What do they hear? When the Lord speaks to Bartimaeus, for example, as someone's praying with that Scripture, they may hear that directly to them. And so this is a substantive teaching to help you enter into that time of prayer with Scripture.
Nice. Wonderful. And with the series itself, I know that there's a focus on prayer, and prayer is being so foundationally important to our own relationship with Christ as individuals, certainly. There's that. How do you see it kind of contributing to the life and health of the Archdiocese, specifically around the Synod itself?
I think the more people who are praying and have that encounter with the Lord and are seeking his will, the better the Archdiocese is going to be in terms of proclaiming the gospel. So it's really a universal, what should we say, there's universal fruit from this, both from the Synod, for our parishes, for individual prayer lives, for people's relationships. That's the beauty of prayer. It affects everything.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's something that we definitely depend on. And when is the Scripture with Series, praying with Scripture series, when is that taking place, or is it just generally open for anyone to do when they can?
Well, good question. I'm going to back up a little. This year, second year of the Synod, we actually have four offerings. The first is the Praying with Scripture series, the five teachings. It will be followed by five teachings on a Healing and Hope series. And then in January and February, we'll have our Faith and Culture talks. And then followed by a Synod at Home, Growing in Faith Together over Lent. So there's this series, and they're all sequential, but at the same, so they'll start, the Praying with Scripture series starts on September 13th, will be on the website, and then September 15th will be premiered on Facebook and YouTube. Archdiocese Facebook and YouTube. Mm. But at the same time, all of these resources are meant to be permanently housed at the Archdiocese. So the faithful can use them anytime. They can use them when they come out each week, or let's say in Advent they want to pray, grow deeper in prayer in Lent next year. It'll be available on the Archdiocese website, you know, permanently for that. And there's really two easy ways for the faithful to access that. First is you can always go to the website. They'll be posted on the website, but a couple easier ways. One is you can download My Parish app. It's a free app from the App Store. And if you search for Archdiocese Synod, you can load that app on your phone, and then each of the three components will be there: the videos, the talk outlines with discussion questions, and the prayer companions. The second option is you can, this link is on the website, but you can go to this link on the web, Archdiocese Synod website, and then you'll get weekly emails. As these sessions come out, you'll just get a direct email. And again, third, you can always just go to the website and access them there.
That's great. And that website is archspm.org/synod, S-Y-N-O-D. So, yeah, excellent. I'm glancing at it now, Teresa, and it looks like it's very well set up, very ready for the launch here in just a little while here. On September 13th is when the Scripture or Praying with Scripture series will, the materials will be appearing on the website. And you said the 15th is when it's going to appear on YouTube and on Facebook?
Yes, the Archdiocese will premiere at that time. 7 p.m. on Tuesday evenings.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm excited to see where that takes us. And so if there's something that specifically that the Synod Executive Committee is hoping that people, I mean, obviously that they grow in their relationship with Christ and that sort of thing, but is there a way to specifically be in prayer for, say, the focus areas around the Synod to grow in knowledge and maybe even passion about these focus areas? Are there ways that we should be praying for the Synod and the Synod team?
Well, that's a great question. And yes, I would say as people are praying, if they can keep the Synod and the Synod intentions in their prayer, and Archbishop Hebda's August 13th Catholic Spirit article goes into, it has each of those three focus areas. The first one is forming parishes that are in the service of evangelization. The second one is forming missionary disciples who know Jesus' love and respond to his call. And the third is forming youth and young adults. In Archbishop's August 13th article, he goes into a lot more depth in those areas of what's on his heart coming out of the prayer and listening events and other discernment. And so if people read those and think about those, the parish consultation process, which will start a year from this fall, so it's 13 months off, maybe 12 months off now, and we're in September, is when every parish in the Archdiocese will be hosting small groups, 6 weeks of small groups, for the Synod parish consultation. And in that process, we'll be discussing those three focus areas and, you know, kind of the questions Archbishop has been laid out here in this article. So if people would like to read that article and then keep those things in their prayers and then also in their thoughts. So as they see their parish functioning, we're looking for everybody's ideas. Mm-hmm. There's such wisdom out there in the faithful. They know what works, what doesn't work. And that's what the objective of that parish consultation is to get that feedback from a broad spectrum of the lay faithful. You know, if we're successful, and I've just taken a few numbers. If every parish has 100 people in the parish consultation process, we could have 20,000 faithful across the Archdiocese praying together, studying together, getting feedback. And that would be a really powerful witness, as well as momentum for the Synod to be successful. So pray with those topics in mind, and then also just be observant of what you're seeing and share that wisdom with us next fall in the parish consultation process.
Wow, what a vision. 20,000 faithful people praying, joining together in prayer for the Archdiocese and Synod. But hey, yeah. I like to shoot big too. How about 200,000, huh? Let's have 1,000 from every parish. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, Teresa, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today about the Praying with Scripture series as part of the Archdiocese and Synod, premiering September 13th on archspm.org/synod, and again on the Archdiocese and Facebook and YouTube pages on September the 15th. Thank you, Teresa, for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and thank you for all your monumental work in helping to direct and guide all the efforts of the Synod.
Thank you, Patrick. Pleasure to be here. Have a great day.
You too. All right, we're going to head into our next break. When we come back, Father Eric Rutten is with us talking about a Minnesota Catholic Conference event called Open Wide Our Hearts on Racial Equity. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Lead young people to understand that this relationship with Christ is first and foremost a commitment. He has made promises in Scripture to be with you always. The question is, are we going to reciprocate that commitment by showing up to prayer? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment by being faithful to the Eucharist? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment that God has made to us through regular reception of reconciliation when we fall, and trusting in God's love as a reality and not just an emotion? You know, most of them create their worldview based on what they feel. They need people involved in their lives who can mentor them and disciple them in that, because it is going to be probably the greatest challenge for them is to break out of the mold of the world, which says, if it feels right, do it. And they apply that same principle to the faith. And when it doesn't feel good, they don't do it. And that's just not what is going to help move them forward on a faith journey.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cammie Ruthium, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Now joining us is Father Eric Rutten, who is the pastor of the Church of St. Peter Claver and has been since 2016. He's also an at-large member of the Social Concerns Committee of the Minnesota Catholic Conference and the chair of the Archdiocesan Commission for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. Father Rutten, good to have you on the program.
Good morning, Patrick. Glad to be with you.
Good. I'm glad to have you with us, indeed. Yes. So lots of stuff we could talk about, but of course, with recent events, there's been a lot of focus placed on both racial justice and injustice, racial equity and inequity going on. So what does your work look like as a member of the Minnesota Catholic Conference Social Concerns Committee?
We look at all kinds of public policy issues and how they impact real people in the real world. And so recently, obviously, the issue of racial equity and community building among us all has been something that we've been taking a look at. And there's a big question I think everyone's asking. They're feeling the tension, or they're feeling the difficulty of our times, and they're saying, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? And so that's partly what our committee is looking at, too, is how can we offer Catholics some opportunities? And this webinar is a chance to really look at the issues and dig in, try to understand it more deeply, and hopefully out of that, the Spirit speaks to us, and maybe we all come up with ideas for things we can do.
All right, and this webinar is Open Wide Our Hearts, the Catholic Church Confronts Racism. It's taking place 10 a.m. to noon on Wednesday, September 9th, but you need to register if you want to be part of the webinar, so you need to go to mncatholic.org and click on the banner there, or just type in /openwideourhearts, all one word there. All right, so tell us a little bit about what's going to take place during this webinar, Father.
Well, there'll be an opportunity to kind of look at what's happened, you know, a review of some of the things going on in our country, but then primarily it will be a discussion among panelists, among whom is Bishop Shelton Fabre, the bishop of the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau, and also Deacon Damon Clark Owens, Laureline Jordan, and Lynette Tarucci. So all of these are going to offer their perspectives, different perspectives on the situation.
Okay, wonderful. And as they offer these different perspectives, what are you thinking that, what are you hoping, I should say, that attendees of this webinar are going to pull out of? What are some of the key concepts you're hoping that they pull out of and then apply to their lives?
Yeah, well, there's concepts or you know, kind of intellectual ideas that I think distinctions that we can make about the issues going on in our times and what racial justice means. But beyond just simply those intellectual distinctions, what we're also hoping will happen is sharing of some stories among all these panelists so that we can, I think, connect on a personal level, too, with how these issues play out in people's lives across our country.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, too, Father, I know that a lot of times with all the angst and the energy, the emotion, and in some ways it certainly does get to a violent standpoint of, you know, demands for justice and equity and that sort of thing. I want to believe in my heart of hearts that faithful Catholics, they don't want to stay silent, but they don't want to take part in anything that's necessarily violent towards another. So you have any suggestions about how Catholics can get involved in the conversation about racial inequity here in this country?
Well, first and foremost, again, the best thing that we can do is actually encountering real people. So, and this is what Pope Francis talks about all the time, is encountering people and really having authentic human interaction, because I think that is where our hearts can move. In terms of the broader social questions, it is an extremely complex time and difficult time, and the kind of the political impulses around this on all sides can be very, very challenging. You mentioned the issue of violence, and for the most part, I think a lot of these demonstrations have been peaceful. In fact, there was even a clergy march in which Archbishop Hebda participated along with several of our priests of our diocese, and in both Minneapolis and St. Paul. So there are lots of good examples of that. Then there are some bad examples, and it's kind of complex because we're not exactly sure who's doing it all. So I think we can look at that and get scared off and not do anything. But I think we have to remember that it's so clear. Our faith teaches us that each of us is a beloved child of God. And I think we can start there and build on that and move from there.
I know when I lived in a more ethnically, racially diverse neighborhood in the Twin Cities, I was confronted with some of the things, specifically as a white man, I was confronted with some of the ways that even I wasn't aware of previously, that I may have felt more comfortable when people of a similar skin tone to mine walk by me than when people of other skin tones walk by me or something like that. I wasn't even aware that was going on in my life. Any ideas, Father, about how we might begin to do some of the deep and hard work of just looking, taking a good, honest look inside in terms of our own attitudes towards people of different ethnicities and races?
So there's a book out right now that's been obviously very popular since the George Floyd killing. It's called White Fragility, and it invites us, not to spoil the whole book, but it invites us to look beyond just kind of feeling guilt in ourselves, to looking at these as kind of, it's the world we live in, there's these cultural dynamics that are happening, and so some of that fear response maybe is built into us, and it doesn't necessarily help us just to feel guilty, but how can we go beyond that, and how can we actually shift the kind of cultural expectations and norms so that we have a more of a sense of the humanity of each other and less of a fear response and more of a just an appreciation that the gift of diversity, actually, the appreciation of that. I would add to that, Patrick, and I sound like a broken record, but the more and more we can reach out and extend ourselves and get to know others, I do think that lowers the fear factor as well. Many of our parishes can be sometimes kind of segregated that way. I sometimes refer to it as kind of the high school cafeteria syndrome, where you just sit with your own friends, you know. And
right.
So how can we find other people to get to know and reach out a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's wonderful advice, of course. But I think a lot of listeners might be saying, too, regardless of what race they happen to be, they might be saying, I'm not sure how to do that or how to take the first steps. Or maybe in some cases, even, you know, for those of us who are part of the white population, saying, well, where can I have a meaningful encounter with someone from another race? Any suggestions that way?
I think there are more and more in society these days, whether that's on our jobs and business or even, you know, certain neighborhoods or places that are more diverse these days. But it's funny, as you're saying that, what's coming to my mind is that the Catholic Church is a wonderful place mm-hmm. to do that. So, for example, on occasion, if folks want to come here to St. Peter Claver, they'd be more than welcome and get to know the community and kind of rub elbows with people here at St. Peter Claver or with many other parishes in our archdiocese that have not only maybe African Americans or Africans, but they might have folks from other kinds of backgrounds to connect with. We have a rich diversity within the Catholic life right here in the Twin Cities. And there, I think, would be wonderful opportunities. The value there is that you know you're connecting with people that share our deep faith, that share, you know, a basic humility before our God. I just think that's a wonderful context to connect with people.
I think it's a great suggestion as well, and I think it should be right there at the top of the list. Of course, a little more difficult during COVID times, of course, but nonetheless, right. There's still an opportunity there. And if I may offer just a very secondary suggestion too, you know, some of my own encounters with people of different ethnicities and races have been basically through restaurants. I have, you know, when there's especially culturally focused or culturally themed restaurants have been very, very helpful for me to just start anyway. It's a place to start to learn about another culture, another cultural expression and that sort of thing. And they say that food is pretty intimately tied in with culture as well. Well, great suggestion, Father, and I love that. And maybe just give us a little bit of information about St. Peter Claver as a parish. Now, I know you have a pretty diverse community there, do you not?
We do. We do. We're, I would say, maybe about a third African American. Maybe another third would be African immigrant. And a third that I call everybody else. You know, a lot of Anglos, but we do have folks from all kinds of ethnicities, and it's a rich experience being here. We're a fairly small community, about 500 families in terms of a parish is a modest size, and it's the kind of place where you can get to know each other and get to know each other's names.
That's right. And you've got a feast day coming up pretty soon here, don't you? September 9th, is that right?
September 9th is the memorial of St. Peter Claver, which we celebrate as a feast day. And we honor that every year with a prayer for racial justice and peace. That's in the evening. So that'll be right after this Zoom webinar on September the 9th. That evening we'll have a prayer for racial justice and peace here at St. Peter Claver.
Well, we've only got about a minute remaining, Father, but just wanted to swing back around to the details of the webinar one more time. So it's Open Wide Our Hearts, the Catholic Church Confronts Racism, Wednesday, September 9th, Feast Day of St. Peter Claver, 10 a.m. to noon, and it's going to be a Zoom webinar, but you need to register. So go to mncatholic.org and look for information on how to register there. Father, before we let you go, may we have a blessing from you, please?
Sure. Loving God, we thank you for all your children all over our world. We, as we pray in the Eucharistic prayer, we ask that you gather us together, gather all your children, and that we might truly be your kingdom. And may Almighty God bless all the listeners and all those gathered in Relevant Radio today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Eric Rutten, pastor of the Church of St. Peter Claver. So good to have you on the program, Father. God bless you.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, we'll replay the info on that webinar as well as some other announcements that you'll probably be glad you heard. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
So, here goes nothing. Here goes everything. Gotta reach for something. Or you fall for anything. Take a breath, take a step.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. In the words of St. Paul, our archdiocesan patron, let's remember to do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, looking out not for his own interests, but also everyone for those of others. One simple way to do that, if you're going to Mass, wear a mask. Of course, the Sunday obligation to attend Mass is still dispensed, so you can always check out archspm.org/COVID-19 for an up-to-date list of outdoor and parking lot Masses being offered around the Archdiocese, as well as Masses online and on TV.
And, of course, you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon and 7:30, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
One important part of maintaining our liturgical well-being is giving. If you are able to give beyond your parish, please consider donating to the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund, an emergency relief fund designed to contribute to operational stability for Catholic parishes and schools during the COVID-19 pandemic. To find out more and to give, visit archspm.org/COVID-19.
The tragic death of George Floyd has ignited a public conversation about ongoing racial inequity and injustice in America. How can the church uphold the dignity of all human persons and foster the common good during these contentious times? Join the Minnesota Catholic Conference for a webinar with featured speaker Bishop Shelton Faber and other panelists Wednesday, September 9th, the Feast of St. Peter Claver, 10 a.m. to noon. For required registration and more, go to archspm.org/events.
And as long as you're there, check out archspm.org/events for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese, both in person and online. And remember, you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. All you got to do is go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
A good thing to do.
It is a good thing to do, indeed. And I'm looking forward to this webinar. I think this is going to be
That'll really be a meaningful good one. Yeah.
I think it's with all the conversation, all the things that are going on, there's just been, I have a hunger to find out, what is our church saying? What are our bishops saying? How do we as faithful Catholics approach this monumental issue?
Like you said, what can we do?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a good place to start looking for answers.
I think so. Again, let's just hit it one more time, shall we?
Sure.
Again, the webinar is Open Wide Our Hearts, put on by the Minnesota Catholic Conference, which is the public policy voice of our Minnesota bishops. That's all coming together Wednesday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to noon. You do need to register for this online webinar, though. So go to mncatholic.org. All right, so that's that. Now, coming up, we're going to have some more important discussions on the next Rediscover as well. Rediscover Hour, I should say. All right. First of all, in conjunction with all of this, we're going to talk a little bit about what Catholics should make of Black Lives Matter. A lot of controversy around this, and we're going to hear from some local voices here about what we should actually make of Black Lives Matter. All right, so that's coming up. Also, some important discussions on the 100 years of Army Office of Chief of Chaplains. And also very important, Paula Kempfer, who's the Archdiocesan Outreach Coordinator for Restorative Justice and Abuse Prevention, is going to be with us to talk about the work of survivors groups. All that's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Glad you tuned in this time. Tune in next time as well. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 12:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.